WNST, Towson Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. We are positively going to be at Pappas on Friday doing the Maryland Crab Cake Tour presented by the Maryland Lottery. Let Yourself Play. We're going to be joined by former Oriole Mike Bordick sometime around 1 o'clock. We're going to do an earlier version this Friday up in Cockeysville. Leonard Raskin will be with us, Jim Reese from Offutt Kerman, and my friend John Kelly talking about the road race going on through Baltimore. There's always a road race through Breezewood this weekend as Luke and I will be meeting under, I don't know, some fast food sign somewhere there where the Monroeville and 376 sign takes us up to a very familiar place. We'll be at Heinz Field doing the late afternoon game. This guy goes all the way back to the good old days in the original Terrible Towel. He has been a longtime chronicler of all things Stillers. We welcome our defending champion from the Steel City, Ed Bouchette, back on, who's having a better year than the Steelers right now. Ed, I don't even know how your year is going, but I've seen how the Steelers are going. How are you? How are things up there? Is Mr. Rooney making cookies for me for Sunday?
everything's fine. We got a little snow on the ground this morning, and as you pass through Breezewood, you'll probably see a little more there, Nestor, but everything's good here, not so much with the Steelers.
Well, let's talk about that. You write columns, you cover the team, you were there when Bradshaw got old, and and Neil O'Donnell, it was time for him to go. It feels like Ben came, you know, out of the womb, kind of like Brady and kind of like Breeze and these guys that have been around forever. We're getting to be the end, and we said that about Brady, but where have you been in the last 5 years of the continuum of, is Ben washed up? Should they move on? Can they move on? Because from the outside, it feels like he's been there too long.
Yeah, I don't think so, Nestor. I believe he wishes probably he didn't come back this year for a lot of reasons. And I don't think it's him. I think it's that offensive line is terrible. It's probably the worst offensive line I've seen them have maybe in forever since I've been around. They get pushed back into Ben. I mean, two interceptions and a fumble the other day. And the one fumble, he was hit from behind. Another interception, he was hit as he threw. And another interception, his receiver ran the wrong route. So this is what he's had to deal with all year long. And I would bet that he wishes it didn't come back. But much of the focus has been on him. To me, hey, look, Najee Harris hasn't gotten any criticism, right? He's doing nothing on the ground, and the reason is he doesn't have the blocking.
We had Le'Veon Bell here for about 15 minutes, and we got Villanueva here, right? So if I would have told you Villanueva was back, would you say they're an improved offensive line or not? Because we're wondering here. I mean, they brought him in to be a right tackle and replacing little Zeus that they shipped off, and then Stanley can't get back on the field. The difference is we're 8-3. We're tripping our way into kicking 66-yard field goals, tripping our way into coming back and winning these games. Pittsburgh was 11-0 last year, right? And I think I may have had you on the show right around that time, and we're like, they're not really an 11-0 team. This is an 8-3 team that skipped around as well, using some remnants, some leftovers that Tomlin didn't even want in Pittsburgh anymore.
Well, good teams win the close games. I was taught that a long time ago, Nestor. And the Steelers have won their share of close games, and they've lost their share of close games. Cincinnati wasn't one of them, Nestor. They got blown out there as bad as they've been blown out by a team coached by Mike Tomlin. And it really exposed a lot of their weaknesses. Their line, I mentioned, their receivers are just not what they thought they were going to be coming in other than Deontay Johnson. On defense, they've been decimated. They lost two-thirds of their starting defensive line. Their inside linebackers are terrible. Devin Bush, who had ACL surgery last year, has either not come back from that or just isn't as good as they thought he was going to be. And they were playing without Joe Hayden the past two games. And now it looks like TJ Watt may miss this one.
Well, the Cincinnati thing was kind of hideous, right? And the Ravens took their share of abuse a couple of weeks ago. We spent the whole offseason, and I know I have you on in the offseason, and we throw around, and everybody buries the Steelers in the offseason, and the Ravens are the Ravens, but Lamar can't win, and the Browns have been the beauty child the last 3 years, and Baker's making his commercials and all that. But the Bengals might be the best team here, right? I mean, as we look at it, you witnessed it the other day. I witnessed it 4 weeks ago. We have a chance the day after Christmas we play them again. And the Ravens are going into this buzzsaw, right? It's Cleveland, Pittsburgh, Cleveland, Green Bay, Cincinnati. I mean, the Ravens have tough games the rest of the way. But Cincinnati may be the toughest of all in some way. And I don't know that we underestimated them or we just look at the jerseys and say, you know, how can it be? But Joe Burrow, 1-1 overall, despite the injury, looks like the anointed one at this point.
Yeah, and I think that was one of the reasons a lot of people were overlooking it was his injury last year, you know, his knee injury. And I just mentioned how Bush hasn't been able to come back. Joe Burrow certainly has. It looked great to me on Sunday, Nestor, the Bengals did, and they have a running game, and they just that coach knows what he's doing. He came out, he knew the Steelers couldn't stop the run, and that's what he gave them. Run, 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 mixing, mixing, mixing. Now, I know other than the quarterback, the Ravens don't have the strongest running backs, but – the Steelers can make them stronger, I think.
Well, that's going to be an interesting matchup in that way because, I mean, the Ravens have had so many different struggles in different ways. The defense struggled until it didn't this week, and the defense was a stronger point. One thing we know is, you know, we have the best kicker in the game, and I don't know about the open end of your stadium and swirling at 7:15 on Sunday night in the dark and, you know, however, you already told me it's snow on the ground up there. We don't have any of that going on down here, but in regard to the Ravens offense and running the football, 2 years ago, man, they were eating in second and one, second and two, second and three, 6 yards, 8 yards, avoiding third down altogether. It's a whole different game around here with no Marshall Yanda, with no Ronnie Stanley. You talk about, you're singing the blues about the offensive line up there. Down here, we're not running the football, and I don't know where that's coming from. They tried Le'Veon Bell, Devontae Freeman, Latavius Murray, all these 30-somethings into this. They've been in second and nine and second and 15. And, you know, all, that's where they've been. And that's meant extra work for Sam Cook around here that he wasn't getting 2 years ago.
Yeah. You know, it'll be maybe a battle of a team that can't run against a team that can't stop the run. That'll be interesting. And, you know, the Steelers can't run either. They made a big splash. Art Mooney came out and said in January they need to improve their running game, and they just haven't. They were last year. They're near last now, and that's been a problem. I mentioned how a lot of people are, you know, putting all the blame on Ben Roethlisberger. He has no running game. Without a running game, it's all on his shoulders, and that line, he's, again, the quickest release in the NFL because that line can't hold anybody out.
Give me a little primer on Tomlin and the top of the organization, because it's been a long time since rock bottom happened, right? So if this is rock bottom, they get their butts kicked by the Bengals. We come in and beat them, and, you know, they fall down the mountain and end the season with 5 or 6 wins or whatever. What does it mean for – what does it look like to get rid of Ben Roethlisberger and rebuild this thing? Because, I mean, Ben's been around since, like, Bettis, right? Like, Hines, Ward, guys that have been gone – for a decade, literally, he's been a part of this. There's going to be a reckoning, I guess, in the offseason, and you see this coming. I mean, Ben's not forever, and the ending isn't going to be the same as it was for the bus with a parade out of Detroit, right?
Yeah, and if anybody thinks a quarterback's going to come in here and turn things around in 2022, they're sadly mistaken, Nestor. They have a major rebuild. The line, like I mentioned, they have two receivers, Deontay Johnson and Chase Claypool, and I'm not so sure about Claypool. He's really taken some steps backward this year. Pat Freiermuth is a good tight end. They have nobody else after that. They do have the running back in Najee Harris. On defense, Cam Hayward is a great, great player. He'll be 33 next year. Stephon Tuitt is mysteriously on the injured reserve list all season. Who knows what's going to become of him? Like I said, those inside linebackers, they need to find somebody there. They have no depth at outside linebacker. Or they have two good starters. Joe Hayden's gone. Terrell Edmonds is gone. It just is going to be a real long rebuild, and just plugging in a quarterback is not going to change anything.
Tom, I'm going to take heat on this.
Oh, he already is, Nestor. You know, people here, for whatever reason, I don't mean all the people, but I think he takes more criticism than maybe he deserves. They keep throwing up that he hasn't won a playoff game in, what, since 2016, I think. I can't even remember what year it was, when they were in the AFC Championship game in New England. And, you know, he was run out of the playoffs last year at home by Cleveland. Didn't make them the year before. Looks like they won't make them this year. So he's on a hot seat with the fans. I don't think he is with ownership.
When's the last time he had a really good team in your mind that you felt like offense, defense, three phases of the game? I always feel like they lack, you know, whether it was the secondary a couple of years ago. And I'm not saying the Ravens don't lack, because the Ravens have problems as well. But I always feel like with the Steelers, there's the uniforms that you know, that come in, and that sort of represents what it represents. But the actual players on the field, I feel like the Shazier thing. And by the way, I got his book sitting here, and he's coming on the show next week. You know, I feel like things haven't been to some degree sort of the same since that was a real awful, awful thing. And I can't imagine in our organization having a player of that magnitude at that point in his career have that happen. But everybody there stood witness to that. And I'm looking forward to having him on. And I know you spent a lot of time with him before, during, after all of this. But I feel like the organization really got rocked with that.
Yes, they've compounded that by using draft capital to move up a few years ago to take Devin Bush with 10th overall, and he hasn't worked out. So they've lost those draft picks, the possibility of maybe adding some linemen instead. You know, 2016 and 2017, they were pretty good. 2016, they got surprised at home after getting a bye by Jacksonville in the playoffs. And then 2017 is when Shazier got hurt, but they made it to the AFC Championship game in New England. And Le'Veon Bell got hurt early in that game. He was actually hurt going into it. He had a groin injury, left early in the half, and they weren't in the game after that.
Ed Bouchette is here. He has covered all things Steelers for a long, long time. He will be at the Confluence on Sunday afternoon for another Ravens-Steelers matchup. You know, still around town, we have the picture of Ray Lewis with his knee on Ben Roethlisberger from like 2005 or something. It was like a long, long time ago. For this transition, and I guess Ben, will Mason Rudolph be playing at the end of this year? Or is it like, what do you foresee happening over the next 5 or 6 weeks? Other than, I think you're a believer that the Steelers can't make the playoffs, right?
Yeah, I don't think so. In fact, I said 5-11-1 is not out of the question. You mentioned the tough schedule the Ravens have. The Steelers have an equally tough one. You know, they have to go to Kansas City. They play the Titans. Now, who knows what the Titans are going to be? They play Baltimore twice. And they have to go to Minnesota, or they play Minnesota here. They play at Minnesota. Sorry. So that is not, you know, the way they're playing right now. They may not win a game other than the January game against Cleveland here might be the one possibility. But I don't think they're going to be favored in any other one other than maybe that Cleveland game.
And I guess for the division and all, you mentioned Cleveland. Any thoughts on what's going on? I mean, that's the scenario of the last couple of years where they've drafted, they got good players. I mean, seeing Conklin's leg give out on him the other day. I mean, Odell Beckham Jr., they're still chasing those kind of ghosts and all that going on there. Stuff that the Steelers don't do generally, you know, chasing these beauty prizes. Cleveland's been doing this forever, and they feel like it's a 1-1A for them and the Steelers as far as who's at the bottom, because I think Cleveland's falling apart too.
Well, they're certainly not doing what a lot of people expected them to do, and especially them. I think their egos have gotten ahead of their success. You know, every year they seem to be stamped as the next great team, and, you know, they falter. They didn't falter last year when they beat the Steelers in that playoff game, but after that, boom, bupkis. So, they've been a disappointment to themselves and to their fans.
Do you like this late loaded schedule thing? I mean, it sounds great on paper. Now that we're here, it's not that it doesn't sound great, but it's certainly the stakes get very, very high when the Ravens are playing Cleveland, Pittsburgh, Cleveland, and Cleveland's got a bye. I mean, Cleveland's got Baltimore on the schedule at this time of the year where everybody's banged up, everybody's got bruises and injuries. I think the league thought this through long and hard about how they wanted to do it. I don't know if it's going to play out that way. I sort of like it in theory, but I would rather see one early, one late to get two different vibes on it than having all of this packed in around the holidays for all these teams.
Yeah, the Steelers played Cincinnati relatively early, and that's been it. You know, this is the latest they've waited to play the Ravens in their first game. They've never played them in December in their first game. This is the first time. And, it could make it more exciting, you know, but it also maybe penalizes somebody that gets off to a good or bad start, a good start early in the year. And falters a little bit and are weaker. Like if you lost your quarterback or something, you'd lost that opportunity to go head to head, let's say, with the Ravens, both teams were at their strength. And, you know, the Steelers certainly won't be at their strength when they play them this week, because like I said, it looks like maybe TJ Watt won't be there. Who knows about Joe Hayden? And, without Watt, forget about it.
Well, best player on the team, Watt still, or Hayward,
would you say? Him and Cam. Yeah, him and Cam Hayward would be neck and neck for me.
Well, we'll be watching the game Sunday together, eating Mr. Rooney's cookies up at Heinz Field at the Confluence. Ed Bouchette has been our friend and our Pittsburgh companion for many years here as we get together for another matchup. We're licking our wounds at 8-3, so I'm not, like, complaining. But there is this part where you start to watch, and I mentioned the uniforms. I mean, the Patriots just get off the bus looking like the Patriots, and all of a sudden they become a little bit of a pest here back in the AFC as well. So we're scoreboard watching while we're up in Pittsburgh. Ed, take care of yourself, man. I'll be up there to join you at the Confluence. I had Stones tickets 5 weeks ago. My back blew out because I'm getting older. So I was supposed to make two trips to Pittsburgh, but I will make this one. Sit in the car 5 hours with my back, but I'm ready for some good football Sunday at 4:00. All right.
All right, Nestor. Good to be with you, and I'll see you on Sunday.
It's always a pleasure. Ed Bouchette, the dean of all the sports writers up there in Pittsburgh covering the Steelers from back in the day. Stick around long enough to see the end of the Ben Roethlisberger administration as well. You can follow him out on Twitter as well as where social media takes you. I am Nestor. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. We never stop talking. Baltimore, positive.